This morning, I want to start by taking a mind, or I'd say a walk in history, back to Bible community history. I don't know how many years I tried to find out, but my family couldn't remember, and I certainly couldn't. But we had a church picnic out here on the lawn by the elementary playground, and they had asked the Spences to do a skit. And a few years before that, they'd asked my wife and I to do a skit, and it was on the same type of thing. And so I think I kind of combined them in my memory walk. So if you remember it, it may not be quite the same. Did anybody remember that? We did the family skit. Oh, good. So I can say what I want. Good. all right. So this will be accurate, completely accurate. It's probably somebody's going to say, that's not what happened. No. All right. Good. Well, that makes me feel better. Well, so they had asked us to do this skit from the soap series from the Wilds. I don't know if you remember those, but they had those books, and they had all skits and different things you could do. For school and for youth groups and so forth. And so they asked us to do a skit. And it was about a family going to Sunday school in the church. And so we are sitting there in seats and acting like we're in a car in our garage, and we're waiting for my wife. And we're waiting, and we're waiting. And so pretty soon I beep the horn, and I say, what's taking so long? You know, I can't believe we're going to be late again. And the girls are saying, you know, Dad, you know, just can't take it easy. So Cindy comes in, and she glares at me because I beeped at her. And she gets in, and I kind of growl at her, and she growls back at me. And the girls say, you know, Mom, you shouldn't really be late for Sunday school. You know how he gets, you know. That became kind of the theme. And so we tear out, and I drive along. Pretty soon, Amber goes, Dad, you know, Natalie stuck her tongue on me. Amber hit me, and Hannah's back there saying, they're both touching me, you know. If you know her, she still is that way. But anyway, you know, she... you know, they're all, and I say, okay, girls, if I hear one more word, I'm pulling over, I'm going to spank all three of you right here along the side of the road. And they're like, and mom turns and says, girls, don't get your dad upset when he's driving. You know how he gets, okay? And then we're driving along further, and all of a sudden, I get behind a guy going 25, and it's a 35, you know? And so I'm, you know, moving our parking, buddy, and beep, you know, I'm beeping a horn. And finally, Cindy goes, you know, why don't you just take it easy, and, you know, we'll get there on time. And I said, well, maybe I wouldn't have to drive like a maniac if we left on time, you know. And she turned and said, well, maybe we would leave on time if you helped with the kids instead of sitting there reading a paper, you know. And so we're, and the girl said, Mom, don't argue with Dad when he's driving. You know how he gets, you know. And so finally we get to church, and we're all, you know, like this. And somebody meets us in the parking lot and says, hey, how are the Spences doing today? Fine. Yeah, we're great. Now, we put on the big smiles, and we're just happy and everything, and we go off to church and sing, you know, Every Day with Jesus, Sweeter Than the Day Before, and, you know, but that's, you know, that was kind of the skit. And afterwards, somebody came up to me, and they said, boy, you and your family are great actors. That really looked realistic. I said, that wasn't acting. That was 5 minutes of confession, okay? This morning, we're going to be talking about irritability and impatience, and I hope this is teaching and not 45 minutes of confession. I'm afraid that when I was going through the book, and Pastor Mike said, you know, you can teach on any of these subjects, just, you know, let me know. And so I went through, and, oh, that looks pretty good, you know. And so then I opened it up, it's like, you know, this is me. And so we're going to look a little bit. I wanted to just open up and look at some of the examples that the author puts. Just, there may be a little bit of confession in there. But as we go through this, I think it's, you know, really has been helpful to see things as they really are. You know, we tend to think that, oh, it's just a character flaw, or it's just the way, you know, boys will be boys, or, you know, we tend to justify our character flaws. And really, it's sin. And so as we go through these things, hopefully we'll see that, and not just see it, but to act upon those things which the Lord lays in our hearts. The first thing that I noticed on page 132, the author gives some examples, and we'll talk about those definitions in just a minute. But it says, he says, on my part, I like to live with a time margin. I start early enough so I can get to church or the airport or wherever going in an unhurried fashion. We kind of dealt on that already. And it says, my wife has this incredible ability to be ready just in the nick of time, or just a little bit late. But, you know, it depends on the person, I guess. Will I be impatient and say something like, why are you always late? Or even say nothing, but communicate my displeasure. And as I looked at that, you know, how many times going to church or going to work or going to visit or whatever, does that happen? And I have to confess that that happens a lot to me. When I think of, sins that are, just acceptable, you could put a table in front of me and say, okay, we're going to put a pack of cigarettes, a beer, and a joint of marijuana. Put that in front of me, I just laugh at it. That's nothing. You put a teenage kid that dives in front of my car in the freeway and slams on his brakes, and I become the Incredible Hulk, without the muscles, losing it. I'm just going crazy because I'm irritated by that. Okay, that's my sin. What we're talking about today. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. And a word in the New American Standard says, confess your sins one to another. I don't think we do that much, but this there is going to be some confession here. I confess that this is an area that I sin. And maybe, you're there. This is one of those things on a table that doesn't bother you. But if you listen to these lessons long enough, you'll find what's on the table that is your temptation. So today, this is the temptation that really gets me. And notice it says parents. The next page there, page 133, it says that parents can become impatient over slow response to training of children. How many times I told you not to leave your shoes in the family room? Actually, that's my wife telling me not to do that. But anyway, she's really patient about that. But that's not her her problem. But as a teacher, I'm not gonna. Oh, I'm glad she's over there. I can't really. I feel that glare coming a little bit. But the dice. Oh, okay. Let me know if it gets a little rough. I'll back off a little bit. All right. But I remember, as a teacher, and I remember, but as a teacher, kid tapping a pencil or somebody asking for the fifth time what the assignment was, it's very easy to just, weren't you listening? Why do I have to keep doing this? How often do I have to keep addressing it? That's easy to do. And how many times have we done it with our children? And notice it says, this does not further our training efforts, but it only serves to vent our impatience and humiliate our children. I remember a couple months ago, somebody came up to me and they said, I have a question for you as a parent. I said, sure. Your children seem to be so nice all the time at school and at church. And I was just wondering, do they ever fight? And I was like, I was tempted, but I said, yeah. I remember a few times when I said, how could you call yourselves Christians and still act like that? And then I remembered our own family, and I remember my mom and dad saying the same thing to us, and not to Linda, but I mean to the boys, okay? Linda's not here, okay, but to Linda too, all right? But I just remember, those times. I mean, they may have looked good in public, but, I think it's good that we confess that, I wasn't the perfect parent. My kids weren't the perfect kids. We had some issues. We had some fighting. And he goes, oh, good, because my kids are killing each other, and I just thought it was something we were doing wrong. I said, well, we have some really good times too, but there is that aspect of the sinful nature. And so I don't think that we have to put on an air of, hey, my kids are perfect or anything like that. So that's the second one. Then the third one, we already mentioned about impatient drivers. He mentioned also about waiting in line. I think I told my Sunday school classes years ago, I said, but I think I have a gift when it comes to waiting in line. There can be 10 lines at Giant Eagle, and every one of them's got like four people in them with just tons of groceries spilling out all over. And then there's one line with one guy, and so I rush over there, get there, and then I notice he's got a stack of coupons about this big. And the guy running the cash register says, trainee. And I just watch all those people fly by. It's like, oh, how did I do this? So I'm just sitting there just steaming and, not all the time. But it just, I have a gift. Bank, you name it. I just, if there's two lines, I'll always pick the wrong one. And we can get angry. We can get impatient. We can get to the place where we sin. And then it mentions about, the post office or the Department of Motor Vehicles, or, you know, all those different places that we have to stand there and wait, and it usually seems like it's not fair, so forth. Now, let's get to some terms. So that was my confession, okay? I have issues with every one of those things that he mentioned. It's like, I was reading through it, I was like, that's me, you know, that's me. I showed it to my kids, like, that's you, you know? And so that was, we laughed, and I'm speaking to myself. If I happen to speak to some of you, praise the Lord. But the Lord really spoke to me this week, and I've been actually working this for several weeks. Mike asked how long I was going to be in this chapter. I just do one chapter, you know, in a period. I guess I'm used to 45-minute periods. But I think that this is something that I really need to work on, and hopefully this will be helpful to you. Now, the first one, the term as far as impatient. Okay, how did the author define impatience? And if you want to add to it with your own. Now, I only give you 5 seconds to answer. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm patient. All right? Just kidding. Go ahead. Okay, good. In page 132, it says, I'm going to define impatience as a strong sense of annoyance at the usually unintentional faults and failures of others. I mentioned about seventh graders tapping pencils. I think that's usually on purpose because they know it bugs me. But for the most part, it's unusual as far as unintentional, I should say, usually unintentional with faults and failures of others. I was thinking, you know, we were talking about frustration. Frustration is kind of like when things don't go how I want them to go or how I think they should go. Impatience is usually when things don't happen when I want them to happen. Okay, I think that's the difference, but they both can lead to being irritated. Frustration and impatience can both bring irritation and anger. We're not going to get to the anger part. If you notice, that's a separate chapter, so whoever's doing next week, we'll let them deal with anger. But hopefully, that's the thing that we're looking at, impatience. And what did he say as far as irritation? That irritation is? Good. You know how he gets, right? Okay, a person that lets things get to them. I like the fact that it describes the frequency of impatience over the slightest provocation. You know, what does it take to get that fuse lit and to have that explosion? And it might not be the same intensity for everybody. Sometimes we can keep it in, and people will say, "Hey, they don't have a problem with this." But what you're thinking and what you're feeling is just as sinful as what you express, as Christ told about with the various sins that he talked about, that we don't have to necessarily express that anger and explode. We can just do a slow simmer inside, and we're irritated, we're agitated. We don't like what's happening at the pace that it's happening. My kids should be having this by now. My students should get this by now. My spouse should know what I like by now. You know, they're not operating under my timetable, and it irritates me, okay? Anyone with comments up to this point? Somebody asked, you know, are you ready? And I said, well, it depends on the questions, okay? But any questions or comments up to this point? Not about my personal life, okay, as far as our family or anything, but just about what something about the irritation and the idea of just the unintentional consequences and so forth of impatience. Go ahead. Good. So someone here? someone else. I was thinking what Faith said. I was going to mention is, you know, when somebody is going 25 miles an hour in front of you and you're going to be late to church or whatever, who do you think put that person there? When you end up in the wrong line and everybody's flying by you, who put you there? No, it's my wife. But is there? Sorry about that. I couldn't help. But God did. Okay, God is in control of our circumstances, just like with frustration. Okay, we get frustrated with our circumstances. Well, who put you there? You know, we get frustrated with the pace of things, with how things are going, when things are happening. Who's in charge of that? And, you know, we have to look at, you know, when somebody offends you as an instrument of God in your life. God has placed them there for your life. If you see that person shoot right in front of you, slam on your brakes, my hand just goes right to the horn, but I'm trying to teach them a lesson. I'm not really angry, you know. That's what I tell my wife. I'm just teaching them how to drive so they won't do the same thing again. Any of you guys do that, teach people lessons when you drive? Okay. Any women? It's a guy thing. Oh, okay, good. All right, I tend to do that to teach lessons, and I'm sure they always understand why I'm beeping at them. They say, oh, thank you so much for beeping for me. I now learn that I'm not supposed to pull in front of somebody. So I feel better about my driving skills. All right, yes, sir. Okay, a man of experience. Okay, I appreciate that. All right, but I, you know, once again, how do we view that? Usually we view that as terrible, as wrong, as not fair, as bad luck, all these different excuses and things that we say, so therefore we justify our reaction. But if we realize that these are all gifts from God to make us better, that they are instruments of God in our lives to mold us and to chisel away the sin and the flesh and the works of the flesh, then we can sit back and say thank you. Now, I'll admit, I don't. Okay? I was hoping that I'd be doing this. My wife was on vacation there, so she wouldn't be able to say all the things I'm hypocritical about, but not really. But she knows what I'm like, okay? And so she knows I lose it sometimes, a lot of times. And she'll even say, you know, don't beep, you know, please don't beep. Can we go one trip without beeping? And I said, just depends on the drivers. It's not me, you know? But that's what, you know, we need to start looking, okay? There's different ways that we can react to these things. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Now I wanted to just go over some things on a positive note, and that is about what is patience, okay? We know that we're not supposed to be impatient. We're not supposed to be irritable. But what are we supposed to be? Okay, what is patience? And I looked up in Vine's dictionary, word dictionary, and it had five different words for patience. One, of course, was not counting the word patience. But endurance, persistence, perseverance, long-suffering, and to be long-tempered, like you temper steel and so forth, to be tempered for a long time. That when the Bible, all the different words in the Bible for patience, there's many of different meanings, but they have one of those five or six meanings. Endurance, persistence, perseverance, long-suffering, and I've heard long-suffering as being willing to suffer for a long time until God chooses to move on. But long-suffering, and then to be long-tempered. So I looked up some verses on patience, and I wanted to spend a good amount of our time looking at those verses and so forth. And I'll just ask for volunteers, if we could, to look up the verses. I'll just mention a couple at a time, maybe two or three, and we'll just get people to volunteer. First of all, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Romans 5, 3 and 4, okay. Romans 12, 12. Okay, Chad, and one more for now. 2 Corinthians 6, 4. Okay, go ahead. And when you get those, we'll just go with the Romans 5, 3, and 4, and then Romans 12, 12, and then 2 Corinthians 6, 4. These are just various verses that deal with patience, and we'll comment on them as we can. Go ahead.
Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to
Okay? And one of the things, these different words that I mentioned come up in the different versions. Okay? And so in the King James, it talks about tribulation worketh patience, and patience perseverance. That's the idea. What was the word there they had? Okay, endurance. Okay, that was one of our words. So depending on what version you have, you may have any of those five words that I mentioned. But tribulation worketh patience or endurance. God gives us tribulation. Okay, I mentioned some tribulations, standing in line, in the raising of our children, in teaching, in work. You may have a boss that really irritates you. Okay, not saying anything about my situation at all. But I'm just saying you may have. So I'm surrounded, you know. Anything I say, I got to pull the foot out, you know. But I'm not saying anything about that. But I've heard some people that have bosses like that, okay? I don't. But if your boss is that way, or some person in your family, okay, tribulation worketh patience, and patience endurance. All right, what else? Go ahead. Romans 12:12. Okay, patient in tribulation, once again, that patience is that thing that God demands, all right? And then 2 Corinthians 6:4. Okay, and in the, once again, in the King James, it says in much patience, but I think it was in endurance, okay? In much patience and endurance, in all things, we commend ourselves as servants of God in much patience. So patience is there in all the things that we do as we minister, as we serve. God desires us to do it with patience. And so impatience would be something contrary to what God desires. All right? And then wanted to look at Galatians 5:22, but we don't need to go there. It's simply the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience, and another one is long-suffering. That two of the nine things that God says are characteristics of the Spirit-controlled person, the fruit of the Spirit, is patience and long-suffering, which is another word for patience, I guess another aspect of it. And so as Christians, this is not an optional thing. That's why I want you to see that patience is not something that we just, hey, if we have it, we have it. If it's not the way, that's not the type of person I am. You know, they have these different types. I'm a type A personality, or type B or C, I don't even know what those are. But, you know, the type A, I guess, is the person that's just got to push and shove and get to the front of the line and so forth. Impatient, okay? And so we could just say, well, that's just the way I am. That's the way God made me. God is not going to make you contrary to his word, okay? God is not going to make me to be contrary to his word. So I can never justify my impatience when God tells me I have to be patient, all right? Let's continue, and if you have anything to say, just raise your hands, and hopefully I'll call on you, or I've had a couple of people pointing. That's really helpful, okay? I don't have good, I'm used to, you know, a little classroom with, you know, a little room 24 by 24, so this is really a vast thing for me. All right, let's look at a few more verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Good, and then 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. Okay, and then one more. 1 Timothy 6:11. Good. All right, and if you'll read those in that order once you get them. Okay. Be patient with them all. Once again, we say, yeah, there's some people I can be patient with, but not everybody. There are just certain people that know how to push my buttons, you know. I remember growing up, I had a sister, Stephanie, not Linda once again, but Stephanie, and we were 9 years apart, and she just knew how to get me upset. She just knew. She just could say something. I mean, she'd say, hi, what do you mean? You know, I don't know what it was, but she could do it. Now we get along great now, but at that time, you know, and so I'd say, well, I'm patient with most people, but, you know, not her. And that was a sin. You know, I just wrote it off as personality clash. We can make these excuses, well, we just don't get along. In school, I hear that a lot where, oh, don't put me by them. We don't get along. So, of course, I put it by them because that's you need to learn to get along. Don't put me in that group. We can't work together. So we put them together. So hopefully you learn to work together. As Christians, we cannot live in that kind of a realm where I don't like that person. I don't get along with that person. They don't. We just can't deal with it. Why? Okay, well, they irritate me. Here we go. All right, continue. Who's our next one? Just start reading the face. Nobody else is. Go ahead. Okay, that was an interesting verse. It had nothing to do with what I wanted. But was that 1 Thessalonians 3:10? Okay, maybe it was. Well, 1 Timothy 3:10, maybe I meant Thessalonians. We'll move on. I must have wrote something down wrong. But it's a good verse. All scripture is profitable, right? All right, 6:11. 2 Timothy, okay, thank you. I forgot a little spot. Could you read that again? Okay. Okay, my patience and set. Thank you. I knew that other one wasn't right. Okay, very good. How Paul gave the example of his patience, that he was an example. Of course, Paul said to be imitators of me. All right, go ahead. Okay, you got that flee. And if you go back in a chapter, it lists all the different things that we're supposed to flee. And then it says, and a lot of it has to do with the love of money and that kind of thing. And then it says to follow after these things. And one of them is, it says righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. It's almost like those fruit of the Spirit again. But there's a idea of following. It's not something that just happens. You've got to pursue it. I think that's the idea. It's an active endeavor. You're not just going to be, if you say, I'm going to be more patient. Okay, that's not going to happen. And it happens through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we've seen. All right, James chapter 5. Let's just all turn there because there's a lot of verses there. James chapter 5. And verses 7 through 11, and then, and I'm reading from New American Standard. I hope that doesn't offend anyone, but I had my King James, I had my New American Standard, and as I was doing these verses, I kind of combined them because of the wording. But it says in New American Standard, it says, be patient. And this is talking about patience concerning the coming of the Lord, all right? But it also ties in with patience in everyday life. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the patience of Job. Okay, so that passage there is, it talks about patiently waiting for the Lord. It talks about the farmer who's patient. It talks about being patient with others. And then remembering the patience of Job. Job endured a lot. Job endured a lot more than somebody slowing down to 25 miles an hour in front of him. Job endured a lot more than kids tapping their pencils, okay? Job endured a lot more than we've ever endured. And yet, he did endure. He was patient. He wasn't perfect. At the end of the book, God had to lecture him a little bit. Were you there when I created the world and all that? Because Job was questioning God. But he was patient to a degree that we have not experienced. Okay, but that's the example that it gives in James chapter 5. All right, any question on those so far? We have a few more verses, but our comments as we've gone over. And if you move at all, I'll probably call on you because I just see any kind of movement. All right, so just be careful. Go ahead. Very good. Okay. That, I don't know if you could all hear that, but the fact that God was working all those things for his good. You know, Job, he did understand a little bit. He said, when I'm tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. But he kind of forgot it as time went on. That we are being tempered, that the trying of our faith worketh patience, that God is doing these things to strengthen us. If we can sense God's presence in these things, we'll be ready when something even more severe happens. If we can't even pass these little tests of traffic and treasure, how are we going to deal with the big things? And so God is constantly working in these areas. Now, I wanted to just go back for a minute. I wasn't sure how much time we'd have, but we have plenty of time, so we're in good shape. Go back to our skit, if you will, and look at four different possible ways that I could have responded to the problem from that skit. Okay, from the problems in the skit. Just go back. We talked about where I lost my temper with my wife, and I yelled some things, and so forth. The first thing I could have done was to just quit going to church. Okay, just drop out. You know, hey, we have such a hassle getting to church, we're just going to quit going. And some people have done that. Some people have quit going to church because they've been irritated with something the pastor said, or irritated with somebody else said, or irritated with their family as they went. We never got to that point. Okay, but that can happen. And I've heard in families where I say, hey, what are you guys going to do this weekend with the family? They look at me like, you know, I have three heads, and I'm just hanging out with my friends at the mall. Well, I mean, when are you going to have your family time? You know, family game night and all that. We don't talk, you know, we don't do anything together. They basically quit on their family. We don't talk anymore. We don't do stuff together. That's one option, but it's a terrible option. You know, when I think back, if I would have quit taking my kids to Sunday school, I would have missed a great blessing. One of the blessings was after Sunday school, we got home and asking the kids what they learned. That was a great thing around the table. I remember one year, they spent a whole year studying Moses. And it was the greatest thing when Moses finally died. I know this sounds terrible, but I mean, all right, we get the promised land, you know. But what did you study? About Moses. Yeah. Oh, man. You know, but I mean, it was fun, you know, and we had a good time talking about what they learned in Sunday school. I'm so glad we didn't decide to quit when we've had problems with the family. I'm glad we didn't quit on our kids and decide we're not going to talk anymore. We're not going to do anything together anymore. That's an option, but it's a terrible option. I hope none of you have taken that, either with the church, either with this, obviously we're not a church because you're here, but as far as maybe you quit going to certain services or perhaps you don't talk to certain people, but whatever it is, that's an option that we as Christians cannot take. We cannot quit. We cannot drop out. A second option that I could have taken, and that was to just ignore it. And unfortunately, that's the one that we usually took. To just ignore it, that's just the way families are. And many times, that's the way we treat one another. That, oh, I'm just an outspoken person. You know, that's just who I am, and you have to deal with me. And just ignore the problem. And when people come into church, and I did this morning, but I really meant it this morning, and they say, how you doing this morning? Great. And you got that nice false smile, and the inside it's churning, and there's anger. That is not scriptural. As I said, the Bible says, confess your faults one another. Now, if somebody asks you how you're doing, well, I sinned, and you know, if you just start listing all your sins, you're going to not have too many people ask you anymore. Okay, I'm not saying that you're just a confession machine. But on the other hand, we can't have these phony faces like we did. When we got out of the car, how you doing, Spences? Great. Oh, I hate that ride, you know. Couldn't I have said, you know what, I wish you'd pray for me because we're struggling right now with some things, with issues. I'm struggling right now with issues of pride, and I'm struggling right now with issues of irritation, and I just appreciate your prayer. I don't want to make a big deal. I'm not, you know, and now I have somebody praying for me. Now I have somebody that can empathize with me. Now I can have someone that's bearing my burdens. Okay, the Bible says, bear one another's burden. Do we do that? No, we don't. Or I shouldn't say, I don't. Okay, I said 45 minutes of confession. It's only been about 15 of myself, okay? But I want to be honest. Okay, if I say it and I'm not doing it, I'm trying to be honest about it. And I haven't been doing it. And the Lord really spoke to me this week about my need of being more open. Can you imagine if a dad said, kids, I am so sorry for what I said to you. I never should have said that. Would you please forgive me? Man, you talk about opening up communication in the family. You talk about melting irritation, and you talk about revival there. Okay, if Christians will start doing what God tells us to do. And that kind of gets into the fourth thing. I'll get back to that in a second. The third one, and this one, you know, when I wrote this in a book, if you go back to page 132, where it says, you know, so here I am ready to be waiting on her. How will I handle this? Will I be impatient and say something or say nothing at all? There is another option there. You could talk to each other and say, hey, you know, it's really important to me to leave on time. And is there a possibility that we can maybe come up with a compromise? You know, you like to leave right here, and I like to leave right here. Is it possible we can leave at least right here? And so that can make it so that I'm not as irritated. And, you know, so there is that possibility sometimes of what I would say communication and compromise. You know, don't drop out. Don't ignore it. There is that possibility of communication and compromise. In the family, in the school, you know, find out what it is. Okay, if I'm irritated with that, maybe there's some way we can work it out so we're not irritated at each other. Okay, that's a good solution for some things. Okay, and so I would encourage that, especially in families. You know, there needs to be that good communication. This is really important to me. Okay, and I would really appreciate it if maybe we could leave earlier. You know, well, this really isn't important to me, so I guess I could, you know, try. And that could eliminate a lot of the problem. The fourth response, and that's the one I've kind of alluded to, and that is that we confront the sin in our lives, we confess it, and we repent and deal with it. Okay? That is really the issue. Like I said, if you say, I am so sorry, I sinned. I was irritated with you. Okay, we have this idea that if somebody irritates me, that's their problem. Okay? They need to get it right with me because they irritated me. Okay. If they irritate you, you are the problem. Okay, they're God's instrument in your life. Okay, they're not a problem. God is using them. Okay, so you ought to maybe thank him. Maybe that's a little over the top. But, you know, talk about heaping coals of fire. But we certainly should not be angry with them. We need to confront our sin. Okay? And once again, call it for what it is. I am just naturally sensitive. And so that's why I react the way I am. No, you're naturally sinful. And that's the way that you, that's the reason why you act like you do. And call it like it is. This is not just some little character flaw. This is like murder. And this is like theft. And this is like lying. And this is like cheating. It's acceptable sins, that's, you know, and this may not be your acceptable sin, but when we get to yours, same thing. Okay, whatever acceptable sin, same thing. We need to confess that sin. We need to confess it to anyone that we've sinned against. Okay, if you have sinned against your wife, your children, your students, your boss, your coworkers, whoever you've sinned against in this way, where you have been irritated and perhaps even impatient with them, hey, I am so sorry. And if you were irritated with that person lying, you know, I was really irritated with you, and I just want to apologize because I know you're just training, and you might have an opportunity, as Faith said, to witness to them as you're standing in line with someone. Use that time. God has provided you with that opportunity. See it as that way. But if you do fall, you need to confess it. You need to forsake it, repent of it, and you need to get it right. There's a couple other verses I wanted to just share. One, I don't think we've done already. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's turn there, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 20 and then verse 23. It says, for what credit is there if you sin when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience. Okay, if you do something wrong and you endure it with patience, that's not a big deal. But it says, but when you do what is right, okay, you're no fault of your own, and you suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. God loves it when you respond to people treating you badly in the right way. Okay? It says, if people treat you, wrongly and rightly and you respond, that's no big deal. But if you are treated, they may say something wrong about you. They may lie about you. How are you going to respond? I'll get them if it's the last thing I do. Nobody talks about me like that. Nobody talks about my kids like that. Nobody gets away with that. I'm going to get them. They're going to suffer for that. But when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Isn't that what we want, to find favor with God? I think that's success, right? To glorify and please God. That's what we want to do in life. And so this is one way that we can do that, by patiently enduring things when people misuse us, when people do things that are wrong against us and accuse us falsely. Whatever it is, God is pleased when we respond with patient endurance. And then verse 23, it says, and this is what the part I really wanted. It says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. I'm sorry, that's verse 24. I skipped that. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Christ is our example. Okay, what did Christ do when people said bad things about him? Hey, if you are the Son of God, come on off that cross. Hey, if you're the Son of God, tell us who punched you. They spit on him. They mocked him. And what did he say in return? Nothing. When he reviled, he reviled not. No matter what people do to you, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what the time schedule that you're missing, we need to be like Christ. And Christ, when he was reviled, he reviled not. And no one will ever go through what Christ went through. Okay, no one is ever going to do to you what they did to Christ. And yet, he is our example. Do we follow that example? That's part of that fourth response, confess, repent, and be like Christ. That's how we deal with it. Is this way Christ would respond to this circumstance? All right, and then just the last one. This is a very, very familiar verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And I'll close with this. We just have a couple minutes, and I'll ask for any questions. It's very convenient that we're going to run out of time before I get too many. But if you have questions for next week, whoever's speaking, we'll finish them up, I'm sure. Okay, but Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight or encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangle us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's two things I want to close with today. One is to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily besets us. As I said before, everybody has some sin or sins that easily encompass them. Your sin may not be the same as mine. Many of you today may be saying, this has nothing to do with me. Okay, I don't have a problem with patience. Not sure about that, but it's possible. Okay, I see some people laughing. So you may want to ask your family. He suggests that. Ask your family members if you ever had trouble with impatience. I don't do that. I know what would be the response. So, but that's one of mine. That's on the table right there. That's one that if it's sitting there, I'm sweating and I'm fighting it, and it's there. Okay? We all have weights and sins that easily can encompass us. Okay, what is yours? And then it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we have to lay aside the sin. We have to defeat that sin in order to run the race that God has put before us. And when we run, we have to run with patient endurance. Okay, are you running your race today with patient endurance? When people look at you, is one of the first words that come to their mind is there is a person that is patient. That's one of the most patient and loving and meek people that I've ever met. Okay, that's how we have to run the race. I'm not that way. I have a lot of changes. I'm pretty young, so I've got a lot of time. I've been fighting this I've been saved for about 50 years now. I was saved when I was 12 years old. I'm going to be 62 coming up. And so I've been a Christian for 50 years. You'd think I'd have it down by now. But I don't. And I am struggling, and I would appreciate your prayer. If my name comes up on a prayer list or something, this is an area that I'd like prayer. And maybe, some of you can share with some of the other people here your area that so easily besets you. Okay? And pray for one another. And edify one another. And build up one another. Those sound like verses, because they are. And we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be doing these things. It's nice to study all these things and say, yeah, that's good. I sin. But what are we going to do about it? Okay, what changes are we going to make? And it's not something that we can just do self-help. It's got to be the Holy Spirit help. The Holy Spirit is the one that will change us into his image, change the image of Christ. So as we run our race, let's lay aside whatever sin easily encompasses us or entangles us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson. Lord, I thank you for this lesson. I pray that you would help me to live with more patience. Help me, Lord, to see you as the architect of every circumstance in my life, and I would see the offender as an instrument of God in my life. I pray, Lord, that each of these folks that are here today would not just be hearers of the word, but doers as well, and that we would see a change in how we treat one another, how we pray for one another, and how we live the Christian life, Lord. We commit this time to you. We commit this subject to you, and we pray, Lord, that you would move in our midst this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.